This is the English translation of the message delivered by Pastor Hon in the morning service on July 14, 2024. The message title is Grief of Holy Spirit. The scripture passage is from a book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. Good morning, everyone. Let us continue our study of the book of Ephesians. Let us read from today's scripture passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every forms of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The meaningful words appear, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Up until Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, we have seen that the concrete nature of living with faith in Jesus Christ is revealed in our relationship with others, in our relationship with people, such as do not lie, but speak truth to your neighbor as one another's members. Do not be resentful, do not steal, and show grace with your word. Starting from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, which we just read, Jesus exhorts us to practice similar Christ-like actions that are important when building relationships with others, such as putting away bitterness, wrath, anger, shouting, cursing, and malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving. If the words up to verse 29 and from verse 31 onwards are like delicious slices of bread that holds the filling of the sandwich, then the words do not grieve the Holy Spirit appear in verse 30 like the key ingredient that determines the nature of the sandwich. Grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When it comes to the concrete manifestation of Christ's faith in our lives, there may be no more important words than these. I feel as if we are being asked, as we live our lives as believers in Christ, whether the standard for our judgments, decisions, or actions is not what I am as a person, but whether it is what makes God the Holy Spirit sad or pleased. These words make me think of this. What is really inside my heart? I feel that the fact that I grieve over something is sadder than the Holy Spirit's grief. Perhaps my idolization of me being sad has made me unable to hear the voice of God that says the Holy Spirit is grieving. How do you feel when Apostle Paul says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit"? Do you feel pain or trembling in your hearts? Or do you think, well, I guess I haven't done much to grieve the Holy Spirit? Or do you think, I don't feel anything in particular. Maybe I've never felt the emotions or thoughts of the Holy Spirit before. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." The words of Jesus and the words of the Bible are essential for us to remember the Holy Spirit speaking to us and thoughts. I think that in most cases, we can feel the Holy Spirit speaking to us and his thoughts slowly within us by reading, listening to, eating, chewing the words of the Bible, taking it in as a nourishment for our body and spirit, and through a life of prayer. Of course, God creates something out of nothing, so at first, or at times, He may allow us to feel the Holy Spirit's thoughts without the words of the Bible. But if we believe in Christ, the Bible tells us that the words of God themselves, the words of Jesus themselves, and the words of the Bible themselves are the speaking to us of the Holy Spirit. In fact, through today's word, we are now being spoken to by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is now speaking to us through the words, "Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, shouting, reviling, and malice, but be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving, for in Christ God has forgiven you." I believe that the teaching, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit," was a word that came out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul as the sorrowful feelings of the Holy Spirit who dwelt within him, who made it his life to listen to, speak, keep, and act on the words of the Bible. Not only Paul, but Jesus had also once uttered similar words, as it is written in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. "Every blasphemy will be forgiven men, and if they speak a word against me, it will be forgiven them. But blasphemy and speech against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven them, neither in this world nor the world to come." He taught us the importance of listening to, obeying, and acting on the speaking words of the Holy Spirit and the thoughts He gives to our hearts and souls, and that cherishing the Holy Spirit will make the difference between our eternal life and death before God. And today's passage of the Bible teaches us what the Holy Spirit is grieving over, and what He is speaking to us about is about our relationships with other people. In fact, human relationships can either give us life or kill us. Not only we live or die physically, but we also live or die spiritually. Relationships that are in line with the grace of Christ can give us life spiritually, but relationships that are not in line with the grace of Christ can drive us to spiritual death. So today's passage of the Bible tells us, when we do not speak the truth to one another as members of the body, when we remain angry with others, when we steal, when we torment or harm others with words, when we are merciless, when we shout or curse, when we are not kind to one another, and when we do not forgive each other, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Can you hear the grieving of the Holy Spirit? Is that grieving also yours? As Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, there is nothing more important in living our relationships in this world than to feel that the sorrow of God the Holy Spirit is like my own sorrow. The words, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit," do not only concern relationships between people, but also ask, what kind of relationship do you have with God the Holy Spirit? In our relationships with other people, to what extent are we able to recognize and remember the sorrows and joys of the Holy Spirit? If we were to say, "My relationships with others are all my own will and decisions, and there is no room for God. My faith is all about the fulfillment of my personal religious spirit, which is my relationship with God," then this is not faith in Christ, nor is it putting into practice the words, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." God the Holy Spirit says, He grieves when relationships between people are broken or torn apart, when there is hostility and judgment. In other words, the extent to which we are able to consciously reflect the sorrows and joys of the Holy Spirit in our relationship with others is our faith, and it determines whether or not we are putting on the new person whose spirit and heart are continually renewed in Christ. To grieve none other than God, the Holy Spirit, Satan, and the devil's job, livelihood, and the business is to grieve God. So they stir up fighting desires within our bodies, trying to rip apart relationships between people, and searching for like a roaring lion. And this instigation usually colludes with the troublesome sense of justice within us, making us fixated and obsessed with the thought, I'm right, it's this person or that person who is wrong. And so we begin to be wrapped around by the sense of a wrong justice. In your relationships with others, have you ever had the experience of grieving the Holy Spirit? You sensed that he was grieved, but you continued to ignore his sadness and insisted on being right? Or are you in that position right now? I have mentioned this before in a message, but there was a time when I could never forget the situation in which I felt the grief of the Holy Spirit in my relationship. But I continued to ignore it, thinking, if he contacts me first, I'll forgive him. If he apologizes first, I'll forgive him. I'm always ready to forgive, and it's the person who is in the wrong, so it's fine if he calls me first or comes to visit me. It must have been exactly 9 years ago now that I left my job as the youth director of Tsuchiura Megumi Church, and I was preparing to go to America with my family of six to study at a seminary. When it became clear that our family of six had to go to America, the thing that scared me the most and the thing that kept me up at night with worries was finances. No matter how much we scraped together, we had such low finances that they would run out in just over a year, and we were in a situation where we had to go to America as a family of six, including our four children, when we received the phone call. I answered the phone in the parking lot of Megumi Church, and it was from a cousin who is 30 years older than me and who lives in Los Angeles. Being 30 years older than me, he looked after me like a father when I studied abroad in the USA for a year as a university student. And it was through his daughter, who is 1 year younger than me, that I first started going to church, and we even went on a short-term missionary trip to Russia and Kazakhstan together. They were the benefactor family that gave me the opportunity to meet Jesus, and they were the only relatives I had in the U.S., Then, about a month before I was to leave for the U.S., I got a sudden phone call from my cousin, and it seemed to me that he had said something like this: "Hey, Toyokazu, I hear that you are coming to U.S. to study abroad with your family of six. Do you have the money? Do you know how much a family of four needs to live in Los Angeles? It's reckless to take six people to a study abroad. Will you have a job after you get to the U.S.? If not, don't come. Don't rely on me or my kids." Looking back now, I think he was worried about our family, but at that time, it just sounded like an insult directed at me. Until that phone call, I had never called my cousin to tell him letting me know that I was coming to America because I was afraid they might find it a burden. However, I was angry at the sudden international phone call and said, "Hey, don't mess with me. Who do you think you are? You are not family, so don't ever contact me again," and hung up the phone. My anger wouldn't subside, so I called my wife and also my mother back home and bad-mouthed my cousin. I then deleted and disposed of all information that contained my cousin's phone number and address and left for America so that I couldn't contact him at all. From that moment on, I felt as if something was clogged up in my heart, as if a heavy weight. I kept thinking, he's in the wrong, so if he can find out my contact information or address and come to me to apologize first, that followed my cousin's information or where I was, so naturally there was no contact and I never went to see or contacted him. But that didn't mean I was at peace at all, and no matter what I did, I couldn't get the sadness or the pain of being cut off from the family that had helped me to encounter Jesus, the most important thing in my life. In light of today's verse, I was in a state where I had been ignoring the sorrowful voice of the Holy Spirit. During those 2.5 years, there was a voice that resonated inside my heart, almost to the point of being annoying. "Hey, Toyokazu, are you sure that's really okay? You too were in the wrong, letting your anger get the better of you and lashing out at someone who was like a father to you and 30 years older than you. You were also at fault, weren't you? You believe in Jesus, don't you? God has forgiven you through Jesus, hasn't he? You have been reconciled to God the Father through Jesus, haven't you? And you are a pastor, aren't you? Above all, you, isn't the theme of your thesis reconciliation? There are people who need to be reconciled, so how audacious is it to try to write a thesis about reconciliation without even making any reconciliation with him? How can you read a book about reconciliation while pretending not to hear this voice? I was so annoyed by the constant voice, "You can hear my sadness, can't you?" that I finally gave in. Giving in, I typed in my cousin's name, Jason Hong, on the internet, just in case, and found a list of alumni members who immigrated to the United States from Korea and are living near Los Angeles area. There, I found information about Jason Hong. I was surprised to find information about him, such as his real estate business, address, age, phone number, and email address. Now that I had obtained this much information, I had no choice but to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. After praying, I made up my mind and sent an email. "Dear Jason, how are you? It has been 2.5 years since our family came to America, and we are living happily in the family dormitory at the Fuller Theological Seminary. Please forgive my rudeness from 2.5 years ago. I'm also sorry for not contacting you during that time. If you will forgive me, would it be okay if I came to say hello?" I sent an email with a pounding heart and received the reply. "Toyokazu, thank you for your email. I'm sorry. Let's meet up again sometime with your family and all of our family." And finally, the day came when we could meet. I went to their home with a pounding heart, and my cousin and his wife, their son's family, and their daughter's family were all so happy to see me. We met for the first time in 20 years, hugged each other in tears, and prayed together. When we were leaving, they gave us a cardboard box full of fruit, food, and souvenirs for my children that they had prepared for us, and I felt warm inside thinking, wow, they really did feel sorry for me. We saw each other frequently for the 6 months until I left the U.S., and when we returned to Japan, my cousin's daughter, Jane, and her family drove us to Los Angeles International Airport. I truly regretted not having contacted them and reconciled earlier, since if I had surrendered to and followed the Holy Spirit's prompting to put away all hardships, resentment, anger, abuse, and malice, and be kind to one another and forgive one another in kindness, for in Christ God has forgiven you, I would have been able to experience such wonderful joy shared by the Holy Spirit and have such a loving relationship. I had no idea that it would end like this, and the reason why I did not contact them during the time was because I thought I just can't accept it and they are more at fault than I am. So if they apologize first, then I might forgive them. And above all else, I couldn't help but feel angry at God, who led me to my life, the situation I was in, the person I was, and the situation where I was suffering such inner anguish with a thought, why has this happened to me? I suppose from God's perspective, it was a case of blameless work, but from my perspective, I was thinking, what the heck? How much have I grieved the Holy Spirit by harboring such thoughts? How much have I grieved the Holy Spirit? I have no choice but to confess that I am someone who cannot help but grieve the Holy Spirit. Rather than doing things that please the Holy Spirit, we can only confess that we are alive because of the grace that the Holy Spirit is pleased with us, and that we are living as Christians and are being kept alive like a parent who treasures a small clumsy picture drawn by a young child, no matter how insignificant it may be, or a parent who watches over with joy, squinting at the courage and effort put into a small step or action that may be far from being successful or completed. We still get angry, we still lie, we still fail to forgive, and I think there are many who replace kindness with cruelty, making others feel cold rather than kind. We sometimes use evil words to insult people rather than words that bring grace to those who hear them. And rather than recognizing the most important fact that God has forgiven us in Christ, we often find ourselves taking God's throne, thinking, I have the right to forgive and I do forgive. I cannot count the number of times I have grieved God's Holy Spirit in this way. But even so, I want to make God the Holy Spirit happy, just as the prodigal son in Jesus' parable returned to his father in rags and rejoiced to see his father be pleased with him. I would like to follow the Holy Spirit, reflecting once again on listening, keeping, and obeying the deep, high, wide, and long, faint yet clear message from the Trinity God that says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let us pray.